Good morning. So this morning we are reading from 1 Samuel chapter 17 verse 1-58. So we're talking about the subject of intelligence, and this is a physical hirsute general need, right? So backstory to this is Israel is at war with the Philistines. And so in those days, they used to set up the battle lines, and then they used to charge, and they used to attack each other, and the winner would be the one who chased the other one back to their camp. Right? Whoever died in that process died in that process. But what happened in this case is that the Philistines decided, no, let's rather do something different. What we're going to do is we're going to have a contest. And whoever wins this contest, the other nation has to become the slaves of the victors. And they came up with this idea because they had a giant on their side. They had a physical giant. Not just a physical giant. But this was a well-practiced giant who was a man of war and was well-known. He was feared. He was very powerful, very strong, and unbeaten. He stood approximately close to 3 meters tall. That's pretty big, right? And so when you look at a normal person who is at most 2 meters tall, and not only was he that size and height, but he was solid muscle. He was very powerful. And so they chose this physical person, well trained, and you would expect that would be the end of the matter. But that's not what happens, because the Israelites don't want to give in, and the only way not to give in is to stand there and be humiliated but not actually take any action. So that's effectively what winds up taking place. But there's a lot more to the story, right? Now, as we go through this, we're going to find some really interesting differences and things that you probably didn't know about the account of David and Goliath, right? So, let's start. Now, the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Shochoh, which to Judah, and pitched between Shochoh and Azekah in Ephesdamim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath of Gath, whose height 6 cubits in a span. A cubit is roughly 0.48 meters, right? So 6 cubits in a span, very close to 3 meters, right? And a helmet of brass upon his head, and he armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat 5,000 shekels of brass, and greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders, and the staff of his spear like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. So when you look at this giant who's standing there, not only is he tall, but he has the latest, best technology. It is solid. It is strong. And it's very fearsome when you're looking at it from a physical perspective, right? Especially in those days. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set battle in array? Not I, a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants, and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. So now we go a little bit back in the time to before this happened. Now David, the son of the Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name Jesse, and he had 8 sons. And the man went among men, an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went, followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his 3 sons that went to the battle, Eliab, the firstborn, next unto him, Abinadab, and the 3rd, Shammah. And David, the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. Now, why did David return? Remember, David was playing the harp for Saul because there was an evil spirit that would come over Saul. Right? So, now that they're going to battle, David leaves Saul and he goes back to take care of the sheep because his elder brothers have now gone to war. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. Now, I find it so amazing. When you look at time, God brings about things perfectly in alignment with time. And I don't know that David would have thought to himself, oh, it's 40 days later, I'm sure something must be going on. But certainly this is regularly taking place. The number 40 coming up as a point in time when there's almost an interaction that takes place. Anyway, so 40 days Goliath had been challenging the Israelites, right? And Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah, which is a container, an ephah of this parched, and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul, and they, and all the men of Israel, in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. They hadn't started doing battle, but that's what was going to be taking place. David rose up early in the morning, and left the sheep with a keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench, as the host was going forth to the fight, and shouted for the battle. So everyone's now lined up, right? They're all ready to go. All the soldiers of Israel are now ready. They're standing in line. They're ready to attack. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army, and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, Have ye seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And shall be, the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? This is the first time that we hear anything about God in this entire episode. Everybody has been going about this in the ways of the world, the ways of understanding battle, the ways of kings and servants, and the way of the world. For the first time, somebody's talking about, hang on a minute, Israel belongs to God. And the armies that are cowering, they belong to the living God, the only living God. And the people answered him after this manner, saying, So shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, What have I now done? Not a cause. And he turned from him toward another, and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. Now it's interesting because we get a real character analysis of David. You know, your own brothers really do know you quite well. They know who you really are. And here we see David, according to Eliab, right? He is full of pride, and he has a very naughty streak in him, that he does things that he's not supposed to do. And he's effectively, he's outside of the world's control system. He doesn't operate like everybody else. He doesn't think like everyone else. And it's a person like this that can take a step outside of Satan's control system, right? And can actually work in faith. Now, the minute we use the word faith, we have a problem with the word intelligence. Because according to the world's definition of intelligence, you have to work according to data, knowledge, and all sorts of things that have been written down in the past, observed, and sometimes even changed. Even though they were true, they've been made not true, right? And so the world says we have intelligence, but you must use our set of data, our knowledge, our rules. And by the way, who controls all of those? Satan does, because he said to Jesus, I'll give you the kingdoms of the world, right? Because they've been given to me. That's what he said. Of course, Jesus didn't argue with him, because Jesus knew, yes, you do have the kingdoms of this earth. You do. You don't have the planet. That still belongs to God. But you have the kingdoms of this earth. And made up in the kingdoms of this earth is all the knowledge and understanding and education and so many other things that have been constructed and set up. The world will tell you intelligence is working according to this data set. Not against truth, but according to this data set. Now, what we've got to understand is that if that's the case, then we have to be really circumspect. No wonder they want to take the Bible out of all these different schools, etc. They don't want that. No wonder they're about to put Bibles back into schools, but the Bibles they're going to put back in the schools have been so changed and adjusted that, again, it speaks still into Satan's system. True intelligence is working according to real truth, not according to everything that is being fed to you. So, let's take this further. Now we're dealing with this David, right? And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant shall go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for thou a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." So again, application of the world's way of thinking, the world's logic, the world's understanding of technology of the time, the world's understanding of science, the world's understanding of forces, right? And of course, the authority figure, who is the king, is saying, "You can't do this. You're not able to." David, on the other hand, doesn't listen to even the highest authority in the land. He doesn't listen to that authority. What does he say? "And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him, and smote him." So, don't you take my lamb. And then he doesn't even think how deadly and dangerous the lion is or the bear. These are creatures much bigger than him, much stronger, much more armed with weapons of teeth and claws, much more powerful. He doesn't think twice about it. He just knows who God is, and he knows that he loves these sheep, right? "And I went out after him and smote him and delivered out of his mouth. When he arose against me, I caught by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." He has defied the armies of the living God. Up to this point, not even Saul is thinking about the fact that this army that he's got is the army of the living God. He's not thinking like that at all. He's thinking, these are my armies. See that spirit? When God's spirit had left Saul, all he had was the physical around him. He had nothing left. He had no faith. So he dealt with everything according to physics, physical, and all the rest of it. David doesn't do that. Verse 37, "David said, Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, Go, and the Lord be with thee." So Saul now recognizes the same spirit that he used to have. He recognizes this in David. And he's saying, well, nobody else is going to do this, so okay, go. Right? And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed with a coat of mail. David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go. Essayed to go? He said, no, I can't go like this. For he had not proved. What did he mean? So, Saul still wants to take the credit for this. So he now wants David to go out and fight, that's fine. But now you must wear my armor, you must wear my stuff and take my sword, and you must go out there and you must go and fight him. You want to? Believe you can. Here's all the equipment, here's everything that you need. I will give you all the resources, but you need to do it our way. You need to do it the world's way, right? Because Saul can't see any other way to do this. David is saying, but hang on a minute, this is not how the Lord has trained me. The Lord has not trained me to work inside this armor and all these things of the world and all these things of science and technology and all. He's taught me to work by faith. And so he says, no, I can't. I haven't used these before. I don't know how to use this. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved. And David put them off him. I think Saul's nose must have been put a little bit out of joint by this subject of his telling him, I'm not going to wear your stuff. But that was David's nature. God used him because he had a nature that stood against what everything in this world was telling him he had to be. Verse 40. So this is David. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. You've got to remember, he took 5 smooth stones. What, did he think he would miss 4 times? No, he intentionally bent down 5 times and picked up a stone. And he was sending a message to the Philistines, but also to Goliath. He knew who Goliath was. He knew who the giants were. The message was, you and your 4 brothers, not any of you are going to stand against me because of God. He picked up a stone for each of the giants. Right? Now, in this particular battle line, there was only one of them, and that was Goliath. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, the man that bare the shield before him. Now that's crazy. Here you come, this giant. He's coming against David. And he's hiding, in a sense, behind his shield bearer. Right? Shield bearer is in front of him. Not that he's trying to duck down, he's too tall, but the point is, he's got the shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. So, what does it mean, a fair countenance? Well, he wasn't scratched and scarred and battle-worthy. He showed no signs of having been in a fight at all. And the Philistine said unto David, I had dog, that thou comest to me with staves. Staves is a stick. His staff, right? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Now, this set of sentences is not heard today. We don't hear this coming from politicians. Right? Because Israel is not pure yet. But the equivalent of this would be something like, you come to me with nuclear weapons, you come to me with lasers, you come to me with space weapons, you come to me with F-35s and all the technology of this world, with drones, with artificial intelligence, you come to me with all that. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. These are going to be the words of Jesus when he comes against all the armies of the world. David continues. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, and that all the earth may know, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. The earth doesn't know that about the Israel of today. But that's coming. What is interesting is that people are recognizing that amongst Christians who are children of God, there's definitely something different about them. And that's because they work by faith. They do not walk according to science, technology, and all the other stuff. They work according to faith. And it makes no sense to the world, right? Verse 47. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. He has total confidence that God is going to do this. David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slang and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, and took his sword, and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. The men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Shaarim, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents. In other words, they took all their things, right? David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. So now we get back to the battle again. When Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, Abner, whose son this youth? And Abner said, Thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell. And the king said, Inquire thou whose son stripped him. And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul, with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, Whose son thou, young man? And David answered, the son of thy servant Jesse the Bethlehemite. Very often, in amongst you, when you're trying to solve something physically and scientifically and technologically and every other way, there is someone that God has placed, provided you are doing something that is right before the Lord, but God will have placed a David in your midst, a person who just does not follow what people say, who can think completely out of the box, who has faith to step into things that you can't imagine. The question is, will you ever see them? And the answer is, you will not see them until such time as a real major problem arises. And then God will orchestrate that that person steps up and steps in. Now, real intelligence is when you do what Saul did. He didn't leave it at, oh no, you're not going to be able to fight against the Philistine. He gave him the opportunity to go and do what was impossible, because he could see this person truly had faith. Real intelligence is looking for people who have faith, not people who rely on all that everybody else relies on, not people who totally understand how everything works, not people who are educated in all your systems and all the thinking of today. When you truly want intelligence, go to the one that God has provided. Someone who's probably hidden away that you don't even know is doing anything. Keep your ears and your eyes out for those people that God has anointed in ways that you don't know, and give them the opportunities to step in and show what God can do through them. Well, guys, not sure what Holy Spirit is speaking to you about, but if you're following along with us in the handbook, then score yourself on the right and make your comments on the left. God bless, and have an absolutely beautiful day.